Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Despite lofty promises, why did the number of homes built in Ireland decrease in 2024 compared to 2023? And with interest rates expected to fall this year, what will that mean for house prices as supply stubbornly fails to meet demand? Well, here to discuss all of this and more is Dr. Lorcan Sir, Senior Lecturer in Housing at the Technological University in Dublin. Lorcan, you're welcome.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for being with us. This sort of dropped on us, this figure, I think it came through last week and everybody was really shocked because we had been promised numerous times by the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach and the Minister for Housing that our total for 2024 would be around 40,000, 10,000 less.
Yeah, I think it started around Simon Harris talking about Béal na Blá last year, so that would have been last summer, and he assured the audience and everybody who was listening that it would be 40,000, and that was reiterated several times by Micheál Martin and Dara O'Brien in the Dáil. I went back and I trawled where these, and they came up maybe about half a dozen times. And it's really hard to know where the number of 40,000 came from because the target was about 33,000, 34,000, something like that. And the year previously in 2023, we had built 33,000. So the trajectory was up. But where they got 40,000 from, I don't know. And it's an interesting question because if you look at what are called the commencement notices, so quite often politicians will predicate their predictions on commencement notices. So they're a legal notice that somebody has to lodge with the council about a month before they start building. So the council knows what's going on in the area and they can send out inspectors to inspect it if needs be. But the, you know, for the last 2 years, 22 and 23, those commencement notices were around 30,000. So there was no way there was going to be 40,000 coming out of 30,000, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Now, did they get the information from the department officials? I doubt that, because as much as I would be critical of their policies, they know well what's going on. And Owen Murphy has a very interesting section in his book about when he tried to take the counting of houses away from the Department of Housing to give to the CSO, and there's a kind of Sir Humphrey moment when he said, well, Minister, if you do that, the numbers will be lower. So they know what the real numbers are. So it looks like a number that for political reasons was plucked out of thin air.
So you're saying it couldn't have been based on the commencement notices because they were around 30,000.
Yeah. It doesn't look like it to me. So it looks like a number that was plucked out of thin air for political reasons. And, you know, it's a misleading number. Let's call it what it is. It was misleading not only to the public and the electorate, but also to their fellow politicians. I mean, if I was a government candidate knocking on doors at the election time saying, promising 40,000.
Unless they can come back to us and say, this is what we based that number on, and we based it on that number in good faith. And they may do that.
Either way, it was wrong. Yeah, that, and more than wrong, the number in 2024 was down 6.7% on the number in 2023. So that is an issue in itself, whatever about the 40,000.
Okay, there was a rebate and a waiver, wasn't there, in place? An Irish Water waiver. And then the rebate was on, what was that on? That was on
Irish Water. So were
there two Irish Water measures that made it cheaper for developers to lodge their commencement notices?
Well, there's two fees that you have to pay if you're building. One is called a development levy. So that's a price. Some councils do it per square metre and some do it per unit. So in Dunleary right down where we are, it's about 11,400 per house or per apartment. And then you also pay a charge. It could be about 7,000 per unit to Irish Water. So say 20,000 per unit. And the development levy is there so the council has money to provide footpaths and sewage and lighting and all that kind of good stuff that you need when developers are developing the infrastructure that goes around the development. And the 2 years ago, the minister introduced a waiver on the development levy. So that saved builders 11,400 per house.
Significant.
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly when you're building like 100 houses or more. And then Irish Water, what you got then was a rebate when you finished from Irish Water. The deadline for the Irish Water paying your fees and getting the rebate was last September, and it was last December then for the development levy waiver. And what you see then in 2024 is these commencement notices have shot up to 60,000 as builders and developers try and get in before the deadline so that they can get, you know, avail of the...
Well, maybe that's where the 40,000 came from, no?
Well, that wouldn't make sense because it takes, you know, a year or a year and a half for housing to start to finish.
So the commencement notice doesn't mean that I'm putting a shovel in the ground within a month?
It does, really. That's what it should mean, is that you're starting. But, you know, by the time you start developing something and by the time you finish, it can be a year or it can be 2 years, depending on what happens during that. You could have a strike, you could find archaeology, you could have all sorts of issues, price materials could go up, price of finance could go up, but there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on. Now, the development levy waiver to avail of that, so 60,000 commencement notices were lodged then last year, right, which is a considerable uplift on the 30,000 the previous year. Now, they have to be completed by December 2026, or else the government or the department can go in and claim back
the money,
the money from them.
You lose your deal.
And if the money has been voted up, increased by councillors in the meantime, they can claim that back. So there's huge pressure now on developers to get out and get, you know, feet on the ground on building sites and get working. And that itself could cause problems, because now if you have everybody clamouring for the same amount of labour for the labour pool that's out there, and to get contractors to come in and do groundworks or to do roofing or to do carpentry or to do electrics or whatever, the net effect of that could well be price inflation again.
Right. Okay. But in terms of houses and homes being completed, it probably means it's not going to look too bad in 2025 if they're all rushing to get these things done.
If they can find the labour to do it, there should be definitely an increase on the 30,000. My own gut instinct is, I mean, if you take away the development levies and the waivers and all the kind of incentives, my gut instinct is over the long term, housing output will settle down around 30,000 a year. I think that's probably...
Despite all of the ambition.
Yeah, the ambition. And you and I have spoken about this before, and the last time I was in here, Angela Ryan from Irish Water was in ahead of me.
Yeah.
Like, you have an ambition for 60,000 houses a year, but if there isn't the water infrastructure there to provide it, you can have an ambition for 260,000 houses a year. You know, if the supply isn't, if the water isn't in the pipes to supply them, the houses aren't going to get planning permission, they're not going
to get. So what does that mean for a housing crisis then, if the market has decided that it's 30,000 and no more?
Yeah, well, it means that they've found the sweet spot. So what that means for the government really is that you let the market do its own thing. And you let those, say, household incomes above 100,000, for example, they go off into the market and they go to the estate agents' windows and they buy the new houses as they become available, or second-hand homes. But you need to create, I think, an alternative market or a parallel market for households between 40 and 80,000 household income. They're the people who are really struggling to find housing. And particularly as house price inflation kicks in, they're going to struggle even more. So the state needs to up its game with what we call affordable housing. And they're providing like the low thousands at the moment, where they should be providing the high tens of thousands. I mean, that's where the real need is. The market will look after itself, and people, households on an income of 100,000 or more, they're generally going to be okay. It's the 40,000 to 100,000 household income that are in real trouble. And there doesn't seem to be much of a plan for them, other than to have them renting for a long time.
So are you saying you leave the private sector to create their 30,000 homes a year, then the state comes in and does an additional amount?
Well, the private sector isn't creating a 30,000 a year. The state is also a good part of that, because they're delivering social housing as well. Mm-hmm. That's also in the 30,000. So you have like three or four real components in the 30,000. One would be the state providing what we used to call council housing and approved housing bodies, you know, social housing. Then you have people building their own one-off housing. And then you have what we call scheme housing. So they're the large housing estates that we traditionally know in urban areas in Ireland. So the state is part of that 30,000 as well. Typically what you see coming to the market every year since about 2019 or so is about 8,000 new houses for sale in your estate agent window out of whatever number it is that gets built. That number seems to float around the 8,000. So it's in around 33% of all new housing. That's all that comes to the market.
I don't understand how you lift beyond 30,000 if you have entities like Irish Water that can't cope with the connections beyond that.
Yeah, it's a real struggle. So what you do then, I think, is you change the balance of the 30,000. So what you find in the 30,000 is that there's a good chunk of that, probably 16-17% of that, that is built to rent, for example. So they're what people, and I saw them coming out here this morning myself, brand new apartment blocks built by large international money that are solely for rent. They are arguably probably not what you need in terms of the Irish population and our welfare system, which is based on home ownership, and also the hundreds of thousands of people who are renting who want to own their own home. So I think what I would do if I was the government is probably switch the emphasis within the 30,000 and put a greater emphasis on delivering scheme housing or housing that's going to be available for sale. What you really want to do is increase that number of 8,000 houses for sale every year to 12,000 or more if you can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that means reducing the incentives when it comes to building these things that are just for rent.
Yeah, the private rental sector in Ireland at the moment is about 19% of all households. It's twice what it should be, I think. You always need it. You always need a functioning rental sector for when, you know, when I lived abroad in Spain or Belgium, whatever, I'm not going to buy a house when I move there. I'm going to rent. And same for people coming to Ireland. You're always going to need that, which is fine. It's got out of hand in the last, you know, 10 or 15 years. And we know from research that the vast majority of people who are renting the private rental sector want to own their own homes.
Yeah.
So the solution isn't to provide more rental accommodation, it's to provide homes for people to buy and take them out. We also have 55,000 households. That's the population of Waterford, right? Living in the private rental sector who are on HAP. And they should not be there. I mean, mm-hmm. they should be in what we would call social housing.
But you can imagine the outcry now if you pull the funding for the build to rent, because we're told, oh, we need them. We need these investors here building these apartments for people to live
in. Yeah, and that's a narrative that you hear all the time from the lobbyists. And I don't believe that. I mean, the rent, we've seen a huge increase. We've seen nearly 20,000 of these built to rents in the last like 5 or 6 years. And at the same time, rents have not come down one iota. In fact, they've gone mm-hmm. quite the opposite way, particularly in Dublin, where most of these are. So, and the solution to rising rents is not more rental accommodation. It's taking people out of the system. It's taking the 55,000 households who shouldn't be there on HAP out of it. It's taking all the people who want to own their own homes out of that and providing homes for them to buy. Like we've seen, like even since I'm just looking at my notes here in front of me, but even since Dara O'Brien took office in 2020, we've seen the percentage of home ownership in Ireland decline, and it's down 19% since its peak in 1991. And it doesn't sound like a huge amount, but we're now well below the European average for mm-hmm. a country that prided itself on home ownership and everybody owning their own homes. We're now sitting at about 65.5%. The European average is nearly 70%.
So when you say that we need to increase the number of homes for sale in the estate agent windows from 8% to 12%, say, are you talking about social and affordable houses in that regard, or are you talking about houses that are available openly and freely on the market? And we know the price of those homes, that's probably going to go up by 15%. That's the prediction this year.
Yeah, I would like to see, well, I think a bit of both, to be honest with you. The social and affordable, I would count in a different category. So I would like to see another, you know, say, make that 12,000 private homes coming on the market. I would also like to see the amount of social housing, to include what we would call affordable housing, essentially it's state-backed housing, increase rapidly, particularly in the affordable section.
So there's an increase in two areas. It's in the privately available, and it's in the social and affordable, and less of the
I think we need less of that. I do think we need less of that. You're always going to have around 5,000. It's kind of consistent. About 18, 19, 20% of all the new housing is going to be one-off housing, and that's generally outside the large urban areas, you know, which is fine. You're always going to have that, the one-off houses.
Yeah.
So the rest of it then is a balance, how you balance between the build to rent, the social and affordable, and the private housing. And the balance in my mind since 2017
it's
wrong way.
Okay, so let's talk about that 15% predicted increase in house prices over 2025. Do you agree with that prediction?
Well, this is based on Mel Reynolds' article in the Irish Independent today. So what Mel has done in classic Mel fashion is he's just taken the numbers and looked at the average. So the central bank produce really interesting numbers every year about the average age and the average term that people are borrowing at. So people are 35 when they get their first mortgage. They borrow for 29 years, which brings them to 64. So they can retire without a mortgage, right? Which is why you don't want people renting in old age and so on and so forth. And he made two assumptions. One is that people on average this year will take a 4% pay rise. And that's baked in already for public sector workers. But IBEC have also come out and said their employers expect a 3.75 or something like that. And then the ECB are expected to cut their interest rates. Both of those things mean that borrowers will be able to borrow more. So 4%, you know, if your wages go up, your multiple of your wages four times for first-time buyers, means they'll be able to borrow more money. And if interest rates go down, it means your affordability gets better, so they will give you more money and keep the mortgage will stay $1,500 a month. If you assume those two things are going to happen, and they're very reasonable assumptions, what you find is that, you know, people borrowing a house at 375 this year or in 2024, if those two things happen, they can buy a house now for 428, which is exactly 14% mm-hmm. more than it would. And nothing will have changed. Their mortgage will have stayed the same every month. So their housing burden, it's called, you know, the percentage of their net take-home pay that they pay
remains the same. So it's relatively comfortable for them to do that.
And it's well under the central bank rules. So what Mel Reynolds seems to have done is just taken those numbers and applied them very logically across the board. You know, if the ECB rates go down by 1 point and if people get a 4% pay rise, that is going to lead to, let's be conservative, a 10 to 15% increase in house prices.
If supply pressures ease, and let's face it, we're not expecting that to happen in the short to medium term, but let's say it does. Do the prices still go up in those circumstances you've outlined where interest rates are coming down and wages are going up?
Yeah, so supply is often mooted as the solution to all our problems, right? And your classic economists and economics across the road there in UCD, 101 would say supply and demand, and if supply goes up, price will come down. It doesn't always work like that in housing because the central bank and the Bank of England have done loads of research on that, and a 1% increase in housing, our total housing stock, will lead to a 2% decrease in house prices, which sounds wonderful, but there's a caveat, which is all things being equal, and things are never equal, because that's all very well if wages and interest rates stay the same, that might have that effect, but they don't. We see the ECB are going to tweak their rates, we see, you know, wage negotiations. So even though your supply might come on and reduce, you know, house prices in theory, you have other forces acting against it. Also, you have, you know, people having babies, more demographic demand, with people coming into the country to work. You know, wages themselves, like housing is the biggest driver of wage demands for employers. And then as people get more money in their wages, they have more money to outbid each other for rents or for houses. So it's a kind of a vicious circle on that one. So the theory of supply is going to bring down house. It hasn't worked yet. If you look across the world at countries like Ireland, so the Anglosphere countries, we do it like us, UK, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand and America. The only time house prices have ever come down is when there's been an economic crash or some sort of crisis.
Right, and we don't want that.
And also, when you think about it, government policy, if I was the Minister for Housing, this is the crux of it, right? Housing is both a commodity, so it's a place where we live, and it's an asset in the Irish system, right? What government minister wants to see the value of their constituents or their electorates' assets, make them poor, go down? So in many respects, it's a part of government policy is to maintain these prices so that builders keep building and that people feel wealthier.
It's the Hunger Games, isn't it?
It's a bit of that, all right.
Lorcan, thanks very much. That's Dr. Lorcan Serra, who's Senior Lecturer in Housing at the Technological University in Dublin. Now, the Louvre in France is going to undergo a major revamp, but who's going to pay for it? Well, British people, it seems, and other non-EU tourists who are going to be charged a little bit extra.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.